you're the truth, the way. The truth, the way. Lord, you're the truth, you're the way. Oh, I believe. I won't ask you if you came expecting tonight, amen, because I can tell already that you did. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. He's good to us. He's mindful. I'm just going to set the guitar down. It's just getting in my way, Brother Joshua. I usually have the earpiece on, but Brother Ron has it tonight, and I can't move around like I want to with this thing. So, amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would. We're going to sing an old song that you all probably know. And about a year ago, the Lord gave me an extra verse to it. So if you don't know that, maybe you can learn it tonight and we can sing it together. But how many is thankful that you don't have to be denied? Amen. Amen. Same key, Sister Stephanie. Oh, when pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till my Jesus came.
Satan said, this message is wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. So now I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied until my Jesus came and he made me Lord. I would not be denied. One more time.
I feel sorry for message people that go around sad all the time. They don't have to be. Amen. We don't have to be sad as Christians or as message believers. I believe the Bible said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That means freedom for you homeschoolers like myself. It means there's freedom. So it's good to have freedom in the Spirit tonight. Amen. We got several prayer requests that came in tonight and several others that we've been praying for. Just want to remind those of you that are here local, there's no men's meeting this coming Sunday night. Lord willing, I'll be preaching in Lexington for Brother Luis. He's going to be out of town, so just remember me there. I will just leave the service right after service here Sunday morning and go preach for him Sunday afternoon in Lexington. So there won't be any men's meeting this weekend. Also, just have several prayer requests. Brother Ivan Milby, he had a hip fracture and had surgery on that. It went successful, and he's in a rehab place now to try to get back up to normal with recovery from his surgery and everything. So I want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Solomon from California that we've been praying for, his Aunt Mary, she actually passed away this week, so we want to remember their family in prayer. And Brother James Harrington's father, they're still treating him with antibiotics for a brain mass they found that they think is due to a viral infection. They're going to treat him for about 10 days and just praying that the Lord will move on the scene there. And want to continue to remember Sister Whitney Jones, who's been having headaches and vision loss, and just want to lift her up in prayer again tonight. And then Sister Tina's aunt, Sister Faye Walker, she came through the gallbladder surgery okay, and just want to remember her for continued recovery. Brother Ron's father-in-law, Brother Homer Frazier, he'd had a tractor accident recently, and a tractor rolled over on his leg and mashed it and had to have it amputated. And he actually really wanted to be here this weekend, but his leg had an aneurysm in it where the surgery had taken place, and they had to go and redo some surgery on that. So he's not able to be here this weekend, but just want to remember him in prayer for continued recovery as well. That's Sister Connie's dad, and he used to pastor the church where Brother Ron pastors now, and I think he still helps out there as much as he can. Just want to lift him up in prayer. And also, there's a prayer request. Please pray for Norma Dodge. She's being admitted to the hospital. And please pray for Claire Olson from Utah. He's recovering from a stroke. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one that there's very needy requests. Brother Luke Gibson's with us tonight. He brought some brothers from Chile and from Mexico with him, and he's going to be preaching for us Labor Day weekend, Lord willing. I'm just going to ask him if he'd come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. Good to have him with us, and we love Brother Luke. He's a good brother. He's not ashamed of this picture either.
Yes, sir. Not at all.
Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, what a great privilege, Lord Jesus, to always come into your divine presence. Lord, your prophet said that when we come into your presence, that you're here to release the desires that we have in you back to us. Father, I can't remember all the requests that were spoken, but you know them before we ever said them, Lord. And Father, you're the one that there's no need that's too small or too great. We bring each one of these requests before you, Lord Jesus, and pray, oh God, that you would meet every need that's been spoken, Father. Lord, and every need that's represented in this building tonight, we pray, oh God, that you'd grant the desires of your children. Father, we pray that your blessings would be upon this audience, Lord. Upon the minister that comes out, may he just come out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father. We so desire to hear from you tonight, Lord Jesus. Pray now, Father, that you would, as we bring each one of these before you, that you'll grant them, Lord Jesus. We pray in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Well, you might want to keep standing for this one. We'll just remain standing a moment if you would. If you get tired, you can sit down. Amen. Number 228 in your hymn book.
Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, he leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need thee every hour. Oh, while I'm through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down. Just lead me safely to that land of rest if I a ground of life have roamed. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, help me reach that golden strand. Lord, there's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. We got a brother from Chile, Brother Fabian, if he would come and sing for us. Do you want to use this? Or?
Okay. Saludos en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Estamos felices de poder visitarles.
We're happy to be here to visit you all.
Y traerle el saludo de los creyentes del sur del mundo.
And to bring greetings from the South Pole.
sepan ustedes que allá donde se acaba América,
you know that where America ends,
no solo hay pingüinos,
there's not only penguins,
también hay creyentes.
But there's believers.
Y estamos muy contentos de poder estar aquí conociéndole.
And we're so happy to be here to know each and every one of you.
Agradecemos a Dios y también la oportunidad que nos da nuestro amigo Luke Gibson.
We thank God and we appreciate Brother Luke Gibson for bringing us here.
De poder conocer a sus amigos.
To be able to know and meet his friends.
Los amigos de mis amigos son también mis amigos.
The friends of my friends are also my friends.
Reciban el saludo de mi pastor, hermano Pedro Peralta.
My pastor, brother Pedro Peralta, sends greetings.
Soy evangelista en bajo su ministerio.
I'm an evangelist under that ministry there.
Y me acompaña mi hermano Moisés.
And my brother Moses is with me.
Quien también es un músico, compositor.
He's also a musician and he composes music.
Y mi hermano Alejandro.
And my brother Alejandro.
Quien es un colaborador en nuestro ministerio allá en Chile también.
Which he's one of the workers there in that ministry in Chile.
Amén. Quisiera cantar un canto.
Wow, this is sophisticated. Wow. Galactic guitar.
El canto dice:
the song says,
habrá en el cielo una gran fiesta.
Will there be a great feast in heaven, the feast of the overcomers?
La fiesta de los vencedores.
The feast of the overcomers.
Habrá en el cielo una gran fiesta. Será una gloriosa reunión. Se reunirán de todas razas los redimidos del Señor. Cantarán canciones de alegría. Lágrimas de gozo llorarán. Será una fiesta de victoria. Solo los redimidos entrarán. La fiesta de los vencedores. No me la voy a perder. El canto de los redimidos. Con alegría cantaré. La fiesta de los vencedores. No me la voy a perder. El canto de los redimidos. Con alegría cantaré. Habrá en el cielo una gran fiesta. Será una gloriosa reunión. Se reunirán de todas razas los redimidos del Señor. Cantarán canciones de alegría. Lágrimas de gozo llorarán. Será una fiesta de victoria. Solo los redimidos entrarán. La fiesta de los vencedores. No me la voy a perder. El canto de los redimidos. Con alegría cantaré. Y la fiesta de los vencedores. No me la voy a perder. El canto de los redimidos. Con alegría cantaré. Con alegría cantaré. Con alegría cantaré. Amén. Gloria al Señor. Amén. God bless you.
Brother Luke, is a singer and a songwriter and an evangelist and a pastor and a Pentecostal and all kinds of things. So we're going to ask him to come and see if he would sing for us tonight as well. Give you a little preview of Labor Day weekend, Lord willing. So,
just saying, brother. I've been listening to 8 hours of that kind of talk right there, and I told him, I said, the Bible says, don't speak in tongues, lest there be an interpreter. So, every now and then I hear him say Homano, and then I hear the word Branham. I said, they just say something about Brother Branham? He said, yeah, so, amen. So, key of G, I believe it is. I'm going to sing one I know y'all all know. Amen. Well, this little light of mine, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, well, I'm going to let it shine. Well, now this little light of mine, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, now everywhere I go, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Well, now everywhere I go, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I'll let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. I'll let it shine till my Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Well, I'll let it shine till Jesus comes. And I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Well, the token's over my home, and I'm gonna let him shine. Oh, the token's over my home, and I'm gonna let him shine. Well, now the token's over my home, and I'm gonna let him shine. Let him shine, let him shine. Listen now. Well, the Holy Ghost is on his throne, and I'm gonna let him shine. Oh, the Holy Ghost is on his throne, and I'm gonna let him shine. Well, now the Holy Ghost is on his throne, and I'm gonna let him shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let's sing it one more time. Help me now. Well, now this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let him shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let him shine. Well, now this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let him shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Well, Brother Andrew, I'm going to let you follow that, because I'm not going to. Amen. Lord bless you. Brother Andrew, if you'd come.
For those of you who don't know this song, it's a story about the maniac of Gadara, and the other verse is about the woman at the well. And the central theme in those stories is there's no one greater than Jesus. And if you know the song tonight, you can sing it with me.
I was so bound up, my life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains could not hold me, confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Oh, but who is that coming from the other side of the sea. His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me bound so long, but my mourning has broken. Now I sing victory song. 'Cause there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. I was hated, rejected by my neighbors, detested. No peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. But then at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bad. But there was Messiah, he was sitting on the well, my story of life, he began to tell. I've forgiven you, Samaritan, I will call you my daughter. From out of your soul can flow living water. 'Cause there's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sweet
Amen. God bless you tonight. It's good to feel His presence already here. And just we want to welcome the presence of the Lord in our midst, whatever He would do. Amen. Brother Bram said, the problem sometimes is we don't get out of order long enough to get saved. We don't hear that quote very much, but he said it, didn't he, Brother Luke? And so we just want to give the Lord His liberty tonight, and told Brother Luke just whatever, or not Brother Luke, that's Labor Day, Brother, told Brother Ron whatever he has on his heart tonight, that just to go ahead and to bring that, and we just be pulling on the gift. His family, they're excited because they're going to go on a tour of Jeff this week while they're in town. They said, we came for the tour, and I said, well, that's okay, we'll pull on the gift anyhow, even if they don't, but I'm sure they'll be pulling too. And Brother Ron and I go way back. The first time I ever went to Alabama banquet was 1997. I was 15 years old, and I thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't. And I think some of these guys were maybe there too. And we went. It was the first year Brother Ron had preached the Alabama banquet, and then went back to the camp several times and went up to hear him in Ohio several times when he's preaching for Brother Erickson and different ones that we've heard him at. And he's just always been a blessing to me. I was telling him, I said, Brother Ron, you may not remember it, but as a young man running from the Lord and running from a gift in my life, I sat in a service probably about where Brother Jared is from him, and he was preaching, And he came out, and at the end of service, he said, he looked right at me, and he said, there's a young man here that's got a call on his life that God's trying to call him to the ministry. And I thought, just stop, Brother Ron. I know, you don't have to tell me. But and so then time fast forwarded a few years and a few pounds, and for my bachelor party, we decided we always wanted to go to Brother Ron's church. We always saw him in special meetings, but we never had had actually been to his church. So for my bachelor party, I requested that some brothers take me to his church. And so my brother Anthony and brother Andrew and brother Trevor, and I think brother Mark took me, and we went to his church. And we got out of service the first night, and he came up to me and said, "You preaching?" I said, "Well, I had all kinds of excuses." He said, "You won't be in the will of God till you are." I thought, goodness. So Brother Ron's been an impact on my life as a young man, just to hear the testimonies. And when I look at Brother Ron, I think this isn't a guy that's just talking about it, but this is a guy that's experienced it, because he's got so many testimonies of what God's done in his own life. It's always been a blessing to me. And just want to welcome him to the pulpit tonight, if he would come. We'll just sing Amazing Grace, the key of G, as he comes. And amen. If you came expecting tonight, Brother Branham said you get what you expect for. If you came and you thought, well, it's probably just a bunch of fanaticism, we'll just go see some holy rollers, you can find that too, probably. But if you came expecting a touch from God, then I believe you can receive it tonight. God's mindful of us. And if you have a need tonight, if you can pull on the gift in Brother Ron's life, I believe God can lead him right down the path that you need personally, something that you need to hear, something that you need to encourage you. Maybe you've had a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad year. But God is moving. God is moving amongst his bride. We see so many things, not just in this little building or this little area, but around the world. God is quickening his bride. He's stirring the bride, trying to get our attention. So may he get your attention tonight through the ministry and through the worship. And we come to worship God and to hear about him and to get closer to him. Let's just stand tonight, if you wouldn't, sing this. Oh, it's amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. Lord, it saved an old wretch like me. You see, I was so lost. Oh, but now I'm found. I was so blind, but now, thank God I see. Let's sing it this way. Oh, we praise God. We want to praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's sing it together again one more time. Oh, praise God.
Tonight. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We'd like to greet you, and I just believe all of this has been divinely orchestrated of the Lord to put it together. I bring you greetings from home and the home church there. Would like to thank you for praying for Brother Homer Frazier. He's my wife's father in a horrible accident. And God has just been rich in mercy to bring him through it. And Brother Daniel, it's been just a miracle of the Lord. And so good to see each and every one of you. And glad to have my wife with me, Brother Randy Hinkle and Sister Wanda. My son Andrew and his wife and two children. And Brother Alden over here, he's one of my right hands. And his wife and daughter. And I know I'm missing somebody there, but we're so glad to have them with us. And wow, it's just good to see each and every one of you. Brother Luke is an old friend of mine, and so glad to have. I asked him what I was doing preaching if he was in the building. So, amen. Amen. Thank you for having us. Let's talk to the Lord. Lord Jesus, how we love you with all of our hearts. And we know that you're such a great God, and we've seen you so many times. And Lord, as we ask you today that you would minister to us and anoint these words, Lord. They're already anointed, but we need your touch. If you would sweep by this afternoon, I know what you're capable of doing. And Lord, we just want your will in this service. That's what we prayed. And we ask you just now that you'd pass by this way. And Lord, may we be sensitive like Bartimaeus was. Lord, after that day, he was blind no more. Never had the testimony of being blind Bartimaeus anymore. He was that man, but not anymore. Once our eyes come open, Lord, we were no longer a sinner, no longer lost, but you came and touched our lives and transformed us by that supernatural power. And I ask you to speak to us in a special way this evening in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Isn't he good to us? Amen. Amen. Maybe we just go to a very familiar portion of Scripture tonight. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Amen. Brother Luke, I have great compassion for the statement you made just a little bit ago. I was in Europe the other day, and I was with all of those Frenchmen, and about all I know about French is French fries, and so, amen. Once in a while, they'll say a little something in your language, and you catch it, so, amen. We're just glad to be here. Amen. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I like how it was Jesus' custom to go to church. And stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord was upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all that bare him witness wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? You may be seated this evening. Amen. Just as today we have many times we sit amongst mixed congregations. Brother Branham says that in every congregation there's three kinds of believers. I know which one I am. And I hope you know which one you are. And we know that Brother Branham would speak to people and they would know him as a man. But then there were other people that were set in the same building and saw more than a man. And then there were people, no doubt, that sat in the building and saw nothing. They came to church, they sat on the pew, maybe they took their time, and maybe they were even faithful for church. But they never met the voice behind the voice. Here was Jesus, and I just kind of found it interesting as a couple of statements were said at the table today, and I was just had been in study and I just knew exactly I was supposed to be here this evening. And Jesus no doubt went into the synagogue many times unrecognized because it was his custom to be there, his custom to be in church. But on this day, it was an orchestrated day. It was a day to where that it was his turn to take his place in the scriptures. And he opened the book, and it was given to him, and he opened the book to his place. He didn't open it to Moses' place or to Noah's place or to Jeremiah. He opened it to his place. And we, being believers and being around for a little while, we know that he went to the certain spot. And he only read the portion to which that he was going to fulfill in his earthly ministry. He didn't read or even finish the scripture. Well, he may have just, you say, well, Brother Ron, he didn't finish the whole thing. Well, that's what you don't understand. He was only reading the part that he was going to fulfill at that time. And so here stands the prophet of God, and he's getting ready to speak. This day is the scripture fulfilled. And no doubt the same way as it was in Jesus' day. Jesus had, he had believers there that were watching for every little thing. And he had carnal people and traditional elders that were looking and seeing a lot of happenings happening in this sacred place. But Jesus was there, and some of them saw something happening, stepping out of the scripture, him becoming more than a historical God. But he begins to open the scriptures and reads his part. And yet there were people there that said, it's not this Joseph's son. And the scriptures that the eyes of all of them were fastened on him. And many came to many various conclusions. And their conclusions were, and their choices even in that meeting took them many places. Sometimes we have services. And in our services, you know, the whole meeting, maybe there's 20 people or 50 people or 500 people that's there. And the whole meeting was derived in God's mind to speak to one person. I was recently at a meeting and my boys were there and we went to my father's place. And it was a Wednesday night service and it was kind of bad weather. And there was only about 12 people that had been able to make it in that evening. And in that service, God just came. And as the words was preached, God just came down. And I had two nephews that weren't serving the Lord. And God dealt with them in a supernatural way. And in that service, there wasn't a lot of lightning bolts flying and feeling the supernatural power of God. But God was igniting that seed. You see, he's responsible for his word. And it has a season and a time and it's an event that's got to happen. But so many times we only see the natural aspect. We only see what we can see with our visible eye. But God's got a plan. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the divine symphony. Brother Branham talks in two different places. I'd like to just bring this from. And this day the scriptures fulfill. He begins to go back and relate certain stories. And to try to catch people's mind. Recognizing your day. And your message. Then he takes events and makes them clear. And he would later come and speak in modern events. And being made clear. And he was trying to get people to see more than Moses and Elijah. And he was trying to get them more than to see Jesus in that realm of 2,000 years ago. Or even the supernatural, what's happening here. The healings and the miracles. He wanted people to see what their part was to play. because it's important to see Brother Branham's position. Are you with me? And listen, when Brother Branham was here, that was a very difficult thing. It was a difficult thing. Maybe some of you being from this community, your fathers, your mothers, your uncles, your aunts, or even you sitting here, where you sat in his meetings and you listened and you saw phenomenal miracles happen. Incredible things take place. But very limited few really knew who he was. Can I say that okay? Very limited few could appreciate the moments that they were allowed to share in that hour. I'd like to bring it to our day, what God's doing right now. Because it's easy to look back and say, well, people missed it, but what about our day? I do not want to be insensitive to the Holy Spirit and what he's doing right now. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. So the prophet of God begins to lay certain things out. He said his words like a symphony. And he begins to relate to us Peter and the wolf. And for time's sake, I'm just going to just bring it to you like this. And Peter of the wolf, Brother Branham goes back. And I remember, you know, we're country people. We live on farms at home. And when I was in school, I didn't have a real love for Shakespeare. I didn't think a whole lot about Beethoven, and then when the message became real, because I grew up in it, and I began to realize, Brother Branham, pull some of those things from Shakespeare and Beethoven, oh, here we go again. And when Brother Branham begins to relate some of these things, Peter and the wolf, and how that they would play, and how every instrument would play, and how that it would beat a certain way, and how that it would come. And if you understood the story, and you understood what was going on, you could catch the changing of the music, and how one instrument would play for this, and one instrument would play for that. But he says, if you don't understand it, it sounds like a bunch of racket to you. Now, he was doing more than just preaching a sermon to them now. If you don't understand what's going on, you're missing this entire message. If you don't catch what's going on, you're going to miss this. Well, we must understand, and let me just draw back here just for a little bit. We can look at Beethoven, and Beethoven was a great writer, of a composer of music. And as Beethoven being a great composer of music, he not only enjoyed music, but there was a divine gift, because all gifts come from God. And in this divine gift, he could not settle for the norm. It was something that was driving him, because a gift will literally drive a man to fulfill what's on the inside of him. You see, we can only fulfill what God called us to do. And we can only be what God placed us to be. And the seed that he places on the inside of us determines what we are. Because you see, we were predestinated before the foundation of the world. Are you with me now? Brother Man said God was like a great contractor laying out all of the calcium and the potash. And he was laying it all out like a contractor would do two befores and all of that, preparing it. Are you with me now? God knew where you would be born. He knew what age that you would come. He knew what hour that you would come on the scene. God in his infinite mercy knew the time and the season that you would be here. This is an infinite God that knows the hairs of the head. That knows, he knows everything. Everything that there is. And listen, he's the one that pre-planned every bit of it. Who can question the mind of God? Who can question the mind of God? Job was said in one day, in his great despair. And God asked him, where was you? You know, some of these people that want to question the message, you ought to have been with Job. They ought to have been with Job. And Job is sitting there and he's lost all of his family. He's lost all of his wealth. He's lost his health. All because God had a plan. Job had to be a part of a plan of God. And God was going to allow Job to write his life down after he lived it. Are you with me? But God had the sheet music in his mind. He had it all in his mind. He had the book of Job written before Job ever lived it. He had the book of Daniel and he's written before you ever lived it. He knew. Are you with me now? I like to feel what I feel here. He knew where you would be. This is not an accident. It's not that you drifted into the building somewhere or another, or somebody accidentally invited you. God ordained you. God pulled on your life. God moved on you. Brother Ron, I don't even know why I'm here tonight. God orchestrated you being here. Maybe this is your first night. Many years ago, I grew up in this message. I listened to tapes every day of my life, but I didn't know the author of the book. I didn't know the voice behind the voice. And I went to services every weekend. Every weekend I went for years and years and years. And up until I was about 17, 18 years old, I had saw phenomenal miracles happen. I'd seen the dead raised, people get out of wheelchairs, cancers dissolve. I saw all of that. But listen, you can see all that and miss God. You can hear all the tapes and know them by heart. My brother and I would stand and compete who could quote the most. Let me just tell you, the devil can quote the most. He knows this message by heart. And it's his worst enemy. Are you with me now? Don't you love the Lord? I'd been in a very bad place in my life. And I'm not here to go there. But I'd been in a very bad spot. I know what it is to be a drug addict. I know what it is to be homeless. And I know what it is to be in a very bad spot. Let me just say, if you're here tonight in that spot, God knows where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. You say, well, Brother Ron, I can't break the addiction. Let me just say this to you. God knows how to take in a moment's notice. I walked into that building, a very heavy drug addict. And I walked out of that building completely delivered. I didn't have to go through sessions and have to go through downer drugs. And I didn't have to go through all that rehab system. If you meet him, I'm talking to somebody here tonight. If you meet him, he knows how to take care of that thing. Hallelujah. This is more than a personality of a preacher that you feed on. Everybody can brush off. I don't care who can preach the greatest. We're not here for competition. Are you with me now? But if we can meet the voice behind the voice, I'll tell you, when I met him, when I met the voice behind the voice, when I met the author of this book, it became real. It made this book live to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll let that rest just a minute. Because first of all, you gotta meet him. You can be the thesaurus of this message. Dotting the I's and crossing the T's. How many times that I've met people after and said, you misquote a certain thing. Oh my. Oh, Brother Branham misquoted. You missed the picture. I told the boys over here, coming over here, I read them about the bridge. I read to them about the bridge, and I said, everybody's looking for 16. They missed the whole picture. Brother Branham saw a bridge before it was ever there. Are you with me? That's no big deal. God saw me.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me now? It's good to be in this place, isn't it? God saw me thousands of years ago. Are you with me? I may be sometimes wishing I was taller or more handsome or less the bill that I am. I'd like to be a lot of different ways. I would like to say my voice didn't have a whine in it. I'd like to change a lot about me. But God, when He was molding the bell, when He was in His great cupola of making you up and putting the elements in you, He had this father to marry this mother and this one to marry this mother. Do you know how difficult that was? You men struggled. You struggled as an ugly young boy. Some of you were bony, some of you were not, and you were just struggled to get that girl just to smile at you. And then when she smiled and did her eyes like that, your heart went bitter, bitter. And you couldn't understand what made her love me. Or Brother Branham says you stepped out of eternity into time. And maybe you can't explain what's going on, but God put you together. He did that more than for Charles and Ella Branham or Charlie and Christine Spencer. He did that for every one of us. Now go back to God's photo album. He's been doing that for thousands of years to get you here. To get your hair color just right. To get your eyes just right. To get your personality just right. Hallelujah. He actually allowed the human element. Some of you are nervous. Some of you are strong in your nature. Some of you are passionate. Some of you are just like a rock. I'm preaching to all of you now. Some of you will amen and go, hallelujah, wasn't that a wonderful service? And some of you go, mm. God's got a plan. While I was making all of that, Job, where were you? Now, I'm just paraphrasing. I went on a long tangent to bring you right back here. Job, you're looking at the wrong thing here. You're looking at everything around you. While I was making the foundations of the earth, where was you at? Don't God look real big and we real small right then?
Amen.
I hear that you watched a testimony the other day. Listen, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do it again. I am glad that God brought me through that. I was standing at Brother Tim Hume's, and they had wrote a little article down, and they were introducing me this way. And I was standing in the study, and they kind of went down a list, Brother Daniel. 2 heart attacks, 2 strokes, hit by lightning, been bit by a snake. Fell off of a house 40 feet, should have never walked again. Then spent in a fire. Laid there that length of time, a month. And then it came to the end of it. And woke up for hours and then went into a coma to where there was no brainwave activity. He's going to preach to you tonight.
Amen.
I want to say this to you. I wasn't wanting to do none of those things. I wasn't expecting a lightning strike. And I wouldn't have mowed in that area if I'd have known the copperhead was there. I wouldn't have climbed on the house if I knew I was going to fall down. And I definitely would not have lit the fire. Now, Sister Connie, she's been through all of that with me. When she was standing and she looked into my eyes and said, "I do," she didn't know what she was asking for. Now, you're grinning, but you're about to play a part. We did not know what God had laid out in the sheet music. We can read in Hebrews chapter 11 by faith and put name after name after name in that book. None of those men felt angels' wings. None of those men felt like they were ready to make a rapture at any moment. Every one of them struggled with the human difficulty. Every one of them struggled with human weaknesses. Then it comes down to the end of the chapter, and Paul is allowed to write these words, "They without us." Imagine all the energies that has been poured into their lives. And God allows your life to live, and He may only quote one sentence out of the whole thing. Right. But my life is so important, He may use 60 seconds of our life to show the world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived for years. Had powerful testimonies down there. But He only used a glimpse of their life. Are you with me? But Brother Ron, I'm so important. I'm so important in this plan. I'm going to be a great big block in the kingdom of God. When God gets done, you may be about that size. Just be thrilled He knows you. Hallelujah. When I heard you sing just a moment ago, and I was sitting in the study, and I heard your voice. I've heard a lot of voices. I can't understand a word you said. But I like what I heard behind the voice. Are you with me? Some of us don't know each other. We would like to sit down, and I'd probably like to go to Cracker Barrel with you and sit on those rocking chairs and find one that has Virginia on it and sit in that one. And we could converse about some stories, things that we have seen, supernatural events that have taken place in our lives. You see, God orchestrates a meeting like this to speak to us. We say, well, things are by chance. Well, let's just talk about it just for a moment. I remember Andrew sitting here. Andrew and Sister Katie, they'd been married about a year. Andrew, me and my second son, was raised in the church and raised in my home. But that don't make you a believer. Andrew married Sister Katie. I remember when I shook her hand, just something impressed on me. This is your daughter-in-law. And that was about 2 to 3 years before they even started talking. So I couldn't tell him what I thought. And they lived about 5 hours away. But I knew it was no coincidence when they got together. Because that little voice had spoke to me, "This is your daughter-in-law." I couldn't put that together because you're not supposed to move the hat. You have to allow God to do those things. And while I was in the coma, and I don't mean to be jumping here just for a minute, but there's a couple important parts here. While I was in the coma, on the day to which the doctors had completely given up and the complete, they had They had put all of the oxygen to me that they could put to me and all of the breathing tubes that they could possibly do. And there was no more that they could do. On that day, Brother Luke, God dealt with Brother Biscoe that I would be his speaker the next year at Bible Way Camp. Now you just think about the impossibilities. I'm laying in a coma. I'm laying and the doctors have given me up. And literally that day they talked to Sister Connie. But listen, when she heard Brother Biscoe tell her, that anchored in her heart, regardless of the coming days and what they were saying, we were supposed to be at a meeting, not just at the meeting, but the speakers at that meeting. Are you with me? Andrew and Katie, we took our whole family there. And it was a huge tent meeting, probably about 1,200 people there. And Sister Katie was sitting kind of on the back, and I remember just like it was yesterday. She just began to scream as the meeting was going on. Brother Tom asked me, said, does she do that all the time? I said, first time I ever heard her. But Andrew just didn't have it. He come to church all the time, and he prayed, and I watched him and watched his life, but he hadn't met him yet. And we were there, and as we were there, Brother Tom Ray's son, we had went on just a couple days holiday, and I just stepped out of my room, and there he was, and I invited him in, and we sat down, and we talked for a little bit. After we talked, God began to go in a certain channel. And as it went in that certain channel, I could see that God was just reading his life. And in just that moment, Brother Nathan, you just gave your testimony just a few moments ago. Just in that moment, that supernatural God just came and just changed him. Listen, you can't orchestrate these things. Later that afternoon, with nothing said, we go to supper. And we're literally walking down the street. And I look about 100 feet in front of me. And there's Brother Tom Ray dealing with Andrew. And I see them. There's a hustle and bustle of a crowd going. And people just going every which way. And they're moving backwards and forwards. And here's a minister of God speaking to my son. And as he speaks to him, I see them. I see him taking by his arms. Listen, I knew the Andrew that I took to Vancouver. But the Andrew that I took to Vancouver was not the Andrew I brought home. When you meet him, hallelujah. Now, I'm sorry, I just have to go here. Sometimes if we're not careful, we don't want ministry. If you can throw me out, it's fine. We just want to hear it from Brother Branham. Well, that's really nice, but I do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well.
Sure.
Are you with me? And I think it's of utmost importance. It changes the atmosphere just a bit, but here we are. I think it's of the utmost importance that you never allow the prophet of God's voice to become a stranger to your home.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
But Brother Branham explains it like this. He says, now the director of the symphony. How many's ever seen a live symphony? It's quite a thing to see. Don't waste your money, but it's quite a thing to see. Here's a guy that has been put in a position in life. Let's just do it as well as I can do it here without throwing a lot of time away. He's been put in a position of life, and there's something on the inside of him to which he's gifted to be able to reach back into a composer's life and to pull from a certain sheet of music to play at the event of the orchestra. Now he's got the solemn responsibility of gathering the musicians. You'll like this. of gathering all the musicians from all over the world. Now listen, we've been on planes and saw this one coming from Australia, and this one from New Zealand, and this one from overseas, and this one from Zimbabwe, and sat on the planes with their different sorts of music, and they're coming to play in a national symphony. My own cousin has played in the National Symphony for years, and she stands about that tall. I'm quite tall compared to her, but she stands about that tall. She's redheaded as a beet. And so anyway, she played in this National Symphony. And to know her, you would think she'd never do that job. And so I was able to spend a little time with her. And she said, we gather from all over the earth for that event. We gather for that certain time. We come together. And the first time that we actually hear one another is when we gather. I told you like this. And so I asked her, I said, how do you practice? She said, we're sent the music. And we study the music. And we study the beats. And we study our part. I said, do you ever struggle? She said, sure I struggle with my part. Are you with me? Now I want to draw some strings together for you. God saw you before the foundation of the world. He ordained you to play your part. It is our difficulty when we want to play somebody else's part. But remember, your part is the one that's important to you. Are you with me? Maybe you're still in the fog, so let me help you with that. Some of you are incredible musicians. Brother Joshua is an incredible musician. But there's not a doubt in my mind that when he was a boy, he beat around on an organ and a piano, and probably nobody wanted to hear him play. It is what it is. Only his mother probably was standing there going. I know, my daughter was a violinist for a little while. 2 great days when she got it and when she quit. I hope she doesn't get this tape. I love her, yeah. Listen, I could do all that I could do to encourage her. You can get it, sweetheart. You can do it. God help me and give me grace. You know, we chuckle at that. But God gives you the new birth. And you meet Him. And then you're left with that human body that you've got to play the music through. You've got to play the music through. The life has got to come through that human clay right there. Are you with me? That human clay that you're living in, that you used to do drugs and you used to go to church and just sit with your arms folded. Used to be bored out of your mind. But now you take the same piece of clay to church. You bring the same piece of clay to church that used to sit in a bar room, that used to go to concert, go to races, and now you come to church. Years ago, you'd have never said amen. You'd have never praised the Lord. Well, Brother Ron, I don't believe in praising the Lord. Well, what do you think you were built for? A horn is no good unless it's used. A violin is no good unless it's used. Amen. Saying all of these things, I'm going to bring it together for you. That director begins to bring those musicians from all over the world. And he gives you the sheet music. Knowing within his mind, many will struggle with their parts. Even some will think, my part is so unimportant. I think I'll stay at home. Come on. I think I'll just stay at home. Well, you don't understand. Selfishness is not a part of this plan. It's not we that are the ones that's important. We're not the important ones. The prophet of God said, stick your finger in a bucket of water. Pull it out. Find the hole. That's how important you are. Oh, Brother Ron, there's this great man or this great one. Listen, the only great one among us, let's just get it right down to it, is him. And if he don't come, we've just had a visit with one another. But when he walks in the building, and he's here, when he walks in the building, he makes all the difference in the whole world. And it's more than a singer, and it's more than a preacher. It's more than somebody sitting beside you. This meeting has been orchestrated that you would be here. Now sometimes we think we can change the music. If we could just tweak the message to make it say what we'd like to. Or even add our own self to it. You know, this piece would be so much greater if I could blow my horn a little louder. You know, the guy playing the triangle. I'm going to borrow a story. There's a man that played the triangle. And he would come to the orchestra. He would leave his house. He would wear his trench coat and his hat. He'd make his way out to the car. He was in no hurry. And he would drive slowly, like old men do. He would drive through town slowly. And he would park at his parking place. Thousands of people there. And he would park. He'd make his way in. And he would walk in and he'd put his coat in the same place he always put it. And put his hat in the same place he always put it. He would stretch. And he'd walk out to his triangle. And he'd pick up his stick. And he would stand there for a few moments. And he would go, ding, ding, ding. When it was done, he'd lay his stick down. And he'd go back and get his hat. And go get his jacket. Now there's a reason why he could do that. Is he knew when to play it. He wasn't under great anxiousness standing there and waiting and waiting. Quit your playing already. It's my turn to play the triangle. So many times we struggle with what God called us to do. Now there are times that the director has to personally talk to you as a musician. He has to personally take you aside as a musician. And that's why you have to have a pastor. Brother Branham had one. And he said, I got 50 sermon titles this morning. I've heard some of those sermons. I don't know about you, but I wonder which ones Brother Branham actually didn't get to preach. But he caught something when Brother Neville preached. Are you with me? It ignited something on the inside of us. And preachers have to be preached to. And what does it do? It stirs up something on the inside of us. Are you with me now? Well, Brother Ron, I don't need to come to church. Well, why did you go to a race when you were a sinner? Why didn't you just Skype racing? Why did you spend the money to drive to Indianapolis and pay $300 for a ticket? $14 for a beer. I don't know what none of this stuff is, but or $8 for a hot dog and set in freezing temperatures just to see a guy called Luck throw a ball. Brother Ron, I can't pay tithes. Are you kidding? The devil makes the unbeliever pay incredible amount of tithes. $8 for a pack of cigarettes. $20 for a beer. God knows how much they pay for a I Love Budweiser on their head. But the devil, the same enemy that you used to enjoy, now sits behind you, and when you put a dollar in the plate, he reminds you, you don't need that. Can I preach to you? My part's not important. I don't know Spanish. I don't know it. I like tacos, enchiladas. I really like. I like those things. I don't like it hot. I just like those things. I like the Americanized Mexican food. Honest. But I couldn't translate. Are you following me now? I couldn't translate. I was called to be a minister. I didn't like it much. Still don't like it much. I'd rather listen to somebody else. But it so happens to be my turn to play. But I'm not a translator. But somebody hears the message. And then they say, Brother Branham didn't speak in Spanish, so now God puts a burden on their heart to interpret it. Are you with me now? And that goes into all of the language. God puts it, and then the books are printed, and then somebody has to give it out. Somebody has to share it. Somebody has to invite somebody to church. Somebody's got to live it. Because it's good to have sheet music, but if somebody don't play it, are you with me? You can have all the books in the world, you can have all the computer equipment in the world, but news bulletin for you, God's not going to rapture computers. IBM and Apple's not going to make it, most likely. But God's going to take human vessels, and this message is going to live in their lives. They may not understand it all. Are you with me? They may not be able to be an engineer of the message and be able to put it all together. As a matter of fact, they may sit in the section behind the curtain playing behind the scenes, but they're important. Brother Ron, I'm struggling with my part. Spend some time with the director.
Amen.
So many times we'll buy books from Barnes & Noble, or we'll go try to get self-help books, or we'll talk to 42 preachers about our problem. Waiting for somebody to give us an answer that we want to hear. Well, what you really need is to meet Him. I want to say this to you. He's the best marriage counselor that there is. He's the best businessman that there is. He's the best realtor that there is. I was in the chimney sweep business for years. I only wanted to witness to one person a day. After you run out of your friends, your neighbors, and people that you just plain don't like, you run out of people to witness to. And God gave me a job to be a chimney sweep. And I did that for many, many years. And I would go to homes that I'd never met, rich and poor, and I would witness to them when given the occasion, and then charge them for it. You've got got to find what God called you to do and stay in that category. Are you with me? Well, Brother Ron, it's a Wednesday night. And you know what, Brother Ron, you need to be in a hurry. I'm talking to you about your position in the symphony here. I'm talking about your position. Well, I'm not the first chair. The first chair is the leader. And I'm never going to be the first chair. Who cares? Just play your part. And just play it within the realm that you're called to play it. Don't try to figure everything out. Just let it live. Oh, Brother Ron. Russia's doing this, and Israel's doing this, and the Pope's doing this, and Los Angeles is doing this. Well, what are you doing? Amen. This preacher's doing this, and this one here, and this church doing that, and this and here. Just, or how is you in the music doing? Can I? Boy, I'm just talking to you just like I'm at home, so you forgive me. You forgive me if I do a little pastor. But it's important that you spend time with your part in the music. It's really important. Well, if I was the pastor, you know, that song leader does it this way. And those musicians do it that way. You know, if they... Come on. How are you doing?
All right.
We don't know exactly how many people there were on the earth when Job was here. Doesn't matter for the story. But God beamed in on one man. Job had some very difficult days. And then God asked him personally, where was you, Job? Now what if he beamed in on you tonight? And maybe you've had a very difficult day, and maybe life's been real difficult. And maybe you got a lot of complaints that you'd like to say about the symphony. Well, let me just give you a little story. When I was a chimney sweep, I went to a house. It was a historical home. It was huge. The man that I met was the hippie of hippies. It was before your pants were way too loose and all of that business. And he needed some work done. I had a little bit of reputation to do in that kind of work. I walked through the home and I went on the roof and I looked at him, looked at it a little bit, and you know, I'm thinking, this guy can't afford what I'm getting ready to do. And so, you know, I give him a proposal and I'm thinking, you know, he can't afford this. I write everything up. I'm almost ashamed at my own proposal. Because some of it I didn't want to do. And so, after he said, yes, sir, that looks good. Now I'm thinking, how can he pay me? So I thought, well, you know, how the prophet of God has taught us to witness, you know, if a man likes to fish, just talk to him about fishing. And so I just began to talk to him a little bit, make small talk with him, and I said, by the way, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a restorer of art. Oh. I said, so what kind of art do you do? And he said, what happens is over time pieces get smoked up and pieces begin to deteriorate and pieces begin to age. And he said, what I do is I bring it back to its original estate. And he began to explain things to me. And he says, now, I have to study the artist. And he said, I have to study what kind of brush that they use and the hair that they use in the brush. And I have to study the canvas. And I have to study the oil and everything that goes into the paint. I have to study all of that before I even start. And he said, I must make sure that every time that I make a stroke, that I don't miss the mark. If I would make a misstroke, I would mar the masterpiece. So I just simply asked him. I said, well, what kind of money does that kind of work do? And he looked at me and he said, well, the last piece I got $1 million for it. My worries were over. Sometimes we want to rearrange the message. Well, first of all, we weren't the ones. It wasn't even Brother Branham's message. It was the message of the Lamb. Are you with me? And sometimes a minister will walk up into a pulpit like what I did this afternoon and pull from 30 different messages a portion. And I'll bring it all together for you so you can see yourself. And it's designed in a certain way till this service is sovereign to you. Because it wasn't a man that really wanted to be here tonight to preach to you. I come for the tour too. Probably some of you have lived here for many years and you take things for granted. You drive by where the baptism took place. You drive by Shemp's red dots or whatever they are. You drive by a lot of different things. And you've grew up with all of that. And people will come from afar and really appreciate the moment. Now I'm coming to you. Really appreciate the moment. There's what we've got to learn to do, is appreciate every member in the body. Now can I draw some strings for you? Some of us are very noisy. Some of us are very quiet. Some of us are very boisterous. And some of us has just a mellowness about us that's almost sickening. Some of you play the cello and some of you play the drum. Maybe you sit over here and you go, I just don't like that drum. Well, that guy would have probably liked to play the violin. If given a choice in life, he'd probably like to play the violin, but somewhere when he was a little boy, he'd beat on his plate with a spoon. And he was really in time. Well, isn't that amazing? He's in time. Quit beating on that Johnny. Some of you'd sit down at the piano and you could just make it sound so incredible. But there was something on the inside of you that was just coming out. You can't explain it. Maybe you wanted to be a preacher. But God just simply has you to open the door. Can I tell you one more story? Very close to us, there's a brother and a sister. They're both gone to be with the Lord now. But his wife had went to the meetings. And she said, won't you come to the meeting? She said, every time I see, Brother Branham says, he's here. I can see the angel of the Lord. I can see the pillar of fire. He didn't believe in none of those things. He absolutely disdained it. So he decided to go to the meeting. And if he would get the chance, he'd like to He'd like to straighten Brother Branham out. Huge audience. Gets picked out of the crowd to be the usher to get Brother Branham from the car to the door. Think about that. Thousands of people, and you get picked out of the crowd to be the man to get him to the door. Now's my chance. Brother Branham gets out of the car. And he said, every question I had just left. He said, what I was expecting, he wasn't. He said, I was expecting some great personality to get out and just to blow me away. And he said, he was calm. He's just a real man. And he wanted to know about my day. And he walks to the building with him and he just chits-chats with him. And he said, while I preach, won't you hold my hat? And he said, here's Brother Branham preaching. And I watch him. I watch him on the way to the pulpit. And he walks up and they're singing, Only Believe. And he takes his time and he's shaking hands on his way. And he finally gets to the pulpit and he begins to preach. He said, I've never seen anybody conduct a service like that in my life. He said, prayer line comes and a sister comes and he knows. And he tells her what her condition is. He tells her several things about her. And then he tells her her address. And he said, that's wrong. That's not the right address. I got him now. So she comes off the platform. So he grabs her and he says, he missed you on the address. She said, I moved yesterday. God knows where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. We're a universal bride. I understand Mexico and Chile's here, around the world. You can't stop this message. As much as Satan would love to destroy it, you can't stop this. Listen, I met him. I met him. And listen, the one that I met took care of all the drugs and the alcohol and the sin condition. And listen, I know without a shadow of a doubt, when I walk into a service, he's going to be here. I watched just a couple of weeks ago, phenomenal miracles happen in a prayer line. I saw in a vision a little baby that was crippled up to 15 months old and couldn't walk. I seen that baby walking. And I told its mama, go get your baby. Run and get your baby. And she ran and got the baby. And when it got there, I prayed for it. Same Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. It's the same Lord Jesus Christ. Prayed for that baby. Sister Tina, you know the story very well. Prayed for that baby. It's all over Instagram. That baby walking. Are you with me? Not handfuls of miracles. He's the same God. And he's the same God here tonight. He knows exactly where you're at. I only want to play my part. But I want to play it well. I really want to play it well. Maybe you're sitting here. I didn't get done, but I'm going to quit. But maybe you're sitting here. Maybe you've had a little difficulty with your part. And you struggle with your own humanity. Maybe you've made some choices in your life that hasn't went well for you. But he's pulled a lot of things together tonight to talk to you. Don't play this part. Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not just another Wednesday night meeting? And I've been invited here. No, God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to deal with your heart. Because this is His music. Somebody's going to make a rapture. Somebody's going to make the rapture. Somebody's going to make it. Somebody's going to go to your school and live it. And you may be the only one by yourself. But it's your turn. I don't know if I can make it. None of us can without His help. Sometimes the director has to sit down with you and show you, this is how it's played. But the director, knowing the potential that's in you, he's very patient with you. Now, what makes him so excited at the end of an orchestra? Maybe 350 characters have came together from all over the world. And he's chosen a part of the music. And now the vision of Beethoven and how this is supposed to be played is now being orchestrated. Now there's a lot of people that's paid incredible money to come and listen. But that director knows everything that's went into it to get it here. He knows the extreme cost for the violinist and the cello and the pianist. And he knows their personal struggles. And he knows the great difficulties that they went through just to sit there. And just to play their part. And when he's done, he's literally exhausted. And he gets so excited. Sometimes that's what preachers do. We know what your struggle has been for your lifetime. And we've watched you in the difficult moments. And we've been with you in some really hard hours. But when it all comes together and you overcome Laodicea, amen, it's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. Beethoven, at the end of his life, couldn't hear his own music. It drove him into complete, total isolation. And he couldn't carry a conversation on with nobody. He cut the bottom of his piano off and listened to the beats on the floor. And he would go down the street to where they were playing it and stick his ear on the brickwork. To hear if they were playing it right. Somebody's listening in another realm. You may feel like you're all alone. But somebody's listening to how you're playing. Somebody's keying into your position. Oh, but I'm concerned about this one. Be concerned about what God's doing in your life. Here's my finished quotation. Brother Branham saw a vision of us coming. And one stepped out of line. Just got a misstep. And Brother Branham screamed, stay in line. Get back in line. That's what we have Wednesday, a Thursday, and a Friday this week. I don't know who all these meetings are for. But I'm just here to echo that voice. Don't miss your part. Don't miss your part. You're incredibly important. Don't miss your part. Don't be intimidated by your part. Just play it. Just play it. Let it live. Oh, how we need in Jeffersonville tonight thousands of lived voices. Let's stand to our feet this evening. Forgive me, I've taken too much time. Maybe with your heads bowed just a moment. You'd just like to You'd just like to say, Brother Ron, God spoke to me tonight. I just needed help to be reminded. Yes, thank you. Yes. 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 Could we just talk to him just a second if we could? Almighty God, the very creator of heavens and earth. Lord, I think about even how you put this meeting together. This week, this day, this moment. You have a predestinated moment for us to come together. And you know how exactly to deal with our hearts. Maybe we haven't been playing our part. We want to play somebody else's part. Maybe we're not satisfied with the music. Maybe we have difficulty with the scriptures and the message. Lord, just help us to live it. Oh God, give us inspiration from the composer. Let it be more than the director, but let that inspiration now come to our part as we sit here. Come and live out of us, Father. Oh God, if we're playing the cello or the organ or the piano or the drum or we're the minister or the deacon or whatever we are, Lord, let us do our part. May we realize we're part of a body of believers around the world, and I can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. Every part is important. Oh God, every diverse gift is important, and I pray today that you would come and live. We don't want the personality of a man. That'll only get us just a little ways. We want you to come. We want you to live in our lives. We want you to go home with us. We want you to go on the job. We want you to get in the car with us. Lord, when we're looking in the mirror, may we see more than ourselves. May we see you. Oh God. Lord, Paul said, I die daily. Brother Bram said, I check up every hour. Lord, I feel like I need to check up every second. Lord, I need more of you. I'm just being honest with you. I need more of you. I need less of me and more of you. I pray that you just live in our lives, Father. Come and be in our homes. May it be more than a tape or a book or the Bible. Let it live inside of us. May we be your ensign. May we be your ambassador. Lord, so get us out of the way that you would live in our lives. May you be in our handshake. May you be in our eye-to-eye contact. May you be in our words, Father. May the sound of our life be echoed as a testimony to you. Oh God, touch every hand that went up. Bless Brother Nathan and this congregation. Bless every minister that's here. I became nervous as I heard ministers that were here. And Lord, all I can do is play my part. All I can do is my part. I pray that you'd bless their ministries, bless their churches. Lord, we're not done yet. There's souls to come in. Souls to be witnessed to. Overcoming to be done. Help us. Help us to play our part. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Could we sing that song, I Need Thee? Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee. Oh, let's just talk to him now. No matter how long you've been a Christian, just say, Lord, come and live in my life. You're not a Christian tonight. Won't you just invite him to where you're at? I need you.
appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. God's speaking to hearts. I know many of you may have work in the morning. I'll try to be mindful of that. But I think after a service like this, we ought to just worship Him a little while. Amen. Are you thankful that even when you were unlovable, that He came down and loved you? When everybody else might have thought you were unsavable, that He came down and saved you. What a blessed people we are just to even be here and know what we know and to feel this presence of God amongst us. We're blessed. Amen. Let's just take a few moments and just worship the Lord tonight. This is number 133 in your hymn book if you don't know it. Oh, once my soul was astray from that heavenly way. Friends, I was wretched, I was vile as could be. But then my Savior above gave me peace, joy and love. Oh, when He reached down His hand. Aren't you thankful for that? For that time that He reached down and sent and picked you up. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me. Oh, friends, He reached way down for me. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. But then He reached down His hand for me. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in this condition. Oh, I was nearing despair, but then He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Oh, friends, He lifted up my feet. He gave me joy, oh, so complete. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me. You're blessed if He did that tonight. Oh, when He reached down His hand. Maybe He's reaching down to you tonight. Oh, just reach up a little higher and grasp His hand. Oh, He'll reach down His hand for you and me. Without God or His Son, but He can reach down His hand for you and me. Oh, since the Lord gave me peace, this heavenly joy, friends, it never ceases. Oh, Lord, I give all my life unto everything, Lord, I give it. Just guide my feet, hold my hand. Lord, grant with Thee I may stand. Oh, since You reached down Your hand for me. I believe He's speaking to hearts tonight. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me. Thank You, Jesus, oh, that You reach way down for me. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me. Let's just worship Him together. Oh, when He reached. Maybe you need prayer tonight. Wasn't planning on having a prayer line, but there's ministers here tonight that'll pray for you. If you have a need, you're welcome to come. We'll pray with you.
God's here to deliver His people tonight. His presence is here. Don't let it pass you by. You may be lost. You may be undone. Oh, without God or His Son. But friends, He can reach down His hand for you and me. Let's sing it again together. Oh, since He reached down His hand for me, thank you, Jesus, that you would reach down your hand. Oh, I was lost. Brother Trevor, Brother Luke, Brother Daniel, would you brothers come and pray with these brothers for these?
services like this, we see God moving. See that he's still Hebrews 13 and 8. Reminds me, can't you see? Oh, why this bride's so happy? We have a reason to be. For we've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. People say that group's a little different over there. Oh, but can't you see why we're so happy? Thank you, Lord. 'Cause we've accepted this word of the Lord. What a privileged people we are. Let's sing it again. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Yes, Lord. Time with all our hearts. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted this great word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken. Bless you tonight. Appreciate each one being in service tonight. If you don't have service at your home church tomorrow night, you're welcome to come fellowship with us again 7:30, and then again Friday at 7:30. We'll be looking forward to what else the Lord has in store for us. Amen. Be in prayer for the other services at the other local churches this week and around the world, what God's doing for his bride. Amen. It's not just about what happens in these four walls, but God has a universal bride that's moving on. Satan has tried to hinder, but you can't stop the move of God. Amen. Let's sing this together before we go tonight. Maybe you feel this way like I do tonight. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh yes, you saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Lord, you saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, then you filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. Lord, you filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, then you showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace. You've surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. Lord, you have done what this world could never do.
Surely been good to me. You have done.